Welcome to Vital Signs. I'm your host, Jen Godet, and we're here to talk about your greatest asset, your health. We're all about peak human performance, and that is really taking care of our everything, physical, spiritual, social, emotional, financial, health, and everything in between. Today, we're going to explore the power of giving back, how social impact, financial literacy, and mentorship not only change the lives of others, but also transform our own. You're in for a treat because joining us is Kathy DeMarcos, a global impact leader, financial expert, and advocate for empowering individuals through education and leadership. With decades of experience in business and social enterprise, she's dedicated her life to helping marginalized communities thrive, embedding financial literacy and leadership into programs that create long-term change. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Hi, thanks, Jen. It's absolute joy to be here.
I'm so looking forward to this. Ever since we spoke before, I couldn't wait to get you on to share. You know, we often think of giving back as charity, but it's so much more. Let's start with how you're using financial literacy and leadership to create lasting impacts in the areas that you're going into currently.
You know, I think I actually start with, instead of actually looking at it as paying back, as paying forward. And I think that small change actually places a very different importance, because it's then about a choice, an intentional choice, that I actually want to contribute to something so that there is a change, as opposed to feeling like I need to pay back because, you know, I've received something. So that's, I think, the biggest shift as to why it's more actually about how I contribute and what the impact is on me, and then ultimately how I can actually change the lives of those that I actually work with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I love it. I love it. The paying forward sort of mentality. And, you know, you and I, we've talked about some of the things that you're doing. And one of the things you do is you embed all of your education, all of the experience that you have in financial leadership, along with that mindset and leadership training. So why is that holistic approach so important? Why isn't it just about financial literacy, but we have to think about our mindset and some of the other soft skills and some of that other, all the other secret sauce that goes into it when we're looking to have impact?
So I look at it as it's actually about the whole of us. So it's the relationship that we have with money. If we don't do that, it's purely looked at and absorbed as a transaction. And I think that also creates a blockage in the way that we then engage. So some of the things that I actually do is work with female-owned farmers, you know, so at grassroots or women-owned businesses, and actually allow them to understand how have they actually looked at money, you know, whether it actually be from a child or through what they have actually learned. So when I'm looking at female-owned farmers, they look at what they do as that's just what they do, not necessarily for, you know, the actual agriculture work that they do, the farming, for it to actually be life changing. It is planting these particular, you know, herbs or products or, you know, crops, because that's what they've always done, as opposed to understanding the nuance of what they could actually do and expanding that beyond their own farming. So if I can give you an example, you know, on one of the projects, I was actually invited to be out in very remote areas in Tanzania. And the training was actually provided on the premise of allowing these female farmers to understand finance, as in financial literacy. But I said to the particular NGO, please allow me to do it my way, because if we do, then it actually will become a generational transformation. So, you know, in this, it was actually about going out to their specific farms, having a look at what is it that they're growing, you know, how they are actually within their communities, and then actually understanding them as individuals. So it wasn't just about the training, it was actually about them, the whole of them, and how I could better understand, you know, who they were and their particular skills, individual skills outside of the farming. That then enables me to bring them together with the premise of how can we actually create a co-op where each of you are actually then passing on your individual skills outside of the farming, and then actually bringing, you know, the buyers back to the table to say, this is now actually a co-op. You're buying from a larger group. You actually are enhancing the quality of the product because they're sharing skills and knowledge. And then by pooling together, we can actually get them that higher price, you know, for a number of reasons, including what I've just shared. That changes the dynamics. That actually also gives them a network. That there's so much more than just handing over that information of this is what financial literacy is about.
You know, and you're talking about shared resources, and we literally just talked about this in the previous show, about if we don't have the economic or the financial ability to make different choices, maybe like what we see here, you're working two or three jobs, you're a single parent, you're burned out, there's like you're still trying to struggle to make ends meet, and there's no support network. It's about reaching out to your peers and combining resources, because when you combine resources with your peers, a lot of times you're able to, like, the sum is greater than the sum of the whole is greater than all of the parts, and so you're able to leverage that community, if you will. And so it sounds to me like it's not just about it's about empowering them to share resources and shift to that abundance mindset instead of scarcity. So let me ask you this, because one of the things we talked about is how much our own perspective shifts when we go and we go with an intention of making an impact on the world or helping someone out or a community out. But it changes us completely in how we look at things, our perspective, and everything. So talk to me about everyday individuals watching this show, regardless of their own financial situation. How can they contribute to social impact in a meaningful way that they'll be able to see and reap the rewards, you know, that we have seen when we've done some of these actions ourselves?
You know, I think at the core of, you know, who we are as people is that we actually want to belong. And our sense of belonging is often actually an external perception. But we create that sense of belonging by actually paying forward. You know, when we can give the smallest, you know, of insight to somebody, that actually reshapes who they are. But we've actually become part of that. And that's the way that I actually look at social impact. It is not just about the money. In fact, you know, the money is probably the least impact, you know, that is created. It is actually about the giving of your time and the sharing of those little nuances that only you actually have that genuinely changes the lives of others. And I often say, you know, in whatever it is that I'm doing, so, you know, I have actually shared this knowledge with, you know, 25, 75, you know, of you can do exactly the same. And that shift in mind instantly, you know, becomes part of this ripple. We can actually then, you know, create such a big ripple effect that many lives can actually change. I may not necessarily know the lives that I actually touch, because it does actually go out to so many. And so therefore I become part of that bigger, you know, that bigger change. So belonging, that's what ultimately changes. You know, I no longer just belong in, you know, that little circle that I have actually lived in. It now actually ripples out into the world. And I guess that's how I have a global footprint. You know, it's, I know you know somebody else, and that actually goes out to an entire network. But that's the bigger impact.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And what I immediately think about, and it's kind of a little different vein, but You know, kindness doesn't cost anything. And when we're looking at that belonging, like we don't know, sometimes it's that smile when you're walking your child to the school bus, that smile to somebody else is what they needed that day. You never know the impact that you have. Maybe it's, you know, holding the door for someone or offering to carry in, you know, one of their bags or something like that. We never know what that person is experiencing on the other side. And when we share our kindness, or as you said, our insight or any aspect of ourselves, the ripple effect is tremendous. And you know, it's interesting that you said that because I have people who will come up to me and I don't even know, I don't remember an interaction with them, but they'll come to me and they say, you know, the day that I really needed a friend, you were there. And I'm like, really? I mean, what did I do? I just, like, I'm just me. You know, you don't think about that, but it's those everyday interactions that make such an impact on people sometimes. And we don't always hear it back, but it does ripple out and have a greater impact. So if you're watching at home, a simple way that you can start giving back today is sharing your insight. It's sharing a smile. It's sharing kindness, even if you don't feel like you have the resources yourself. That's kindness is free, and that's one way that you can establish that community, that belonging, and change that for yourself. We do have to take a brief break, but we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Signs. I'm Jen Godet here with my amazing guest, Kathy DeMarcos. And before the break, we were talking about giving back isn't just about helping others, it changes us too. Social impact shifts our own well-being. Well, research shows that volunteering improves mental health. Kathy, in your experience, how does giving back shift our own psychological well-being?
It goes back to that contributing, you know, feeling like you belong. So giving back is so often thought about, you know, the monetary element, but it is in fact the giving of you that actually shifts. So that giving of you is actually about your sense of purpose. You know, I've had so many clients actually share that, you know, what's the point? What's the point when I don't actually have anything to look forward to? But that looking forward to is actually about you sharing, you know. You actually talked about a simple smile. That simple smile shifts everything. And when you get that back, that again reignites that sense of belonging. So it works like a mirror. When you actually, you know, light up somebody, you're actually lit up within yourself. And so it affects not only your well-being, but everybody that's actually in your circle or who you actually come, you know, into contact with. That smile can in fact shift the, you know, not only the thought, but the position, the state of being of that other person that you're actually just crossed paths with. That actually creates a ripple effect. So, you know, the place in which they were going, where there may have actually been, you know, fear, you know, an uneasiness for where they were going and where, you know, their thought of mind has now actually shifted. Because you have actually crossed their path and you have given them that sense of hope. Perhaps that thought of there is something else other than was actually, you know, topical in the moment. So there is so much more that actually happens just by sheer kindness, just by a sheer smile, just by a sheer eye contact, you know, allowing people to actually feel like they've been seen. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, it does. And actually, it's really funny. We've been talking about this needing to be seen, the human need to be seen, the human need to be heard, that is shared by all of us. And a lot of times, especially in marginalized communities or people who are struggling, we feel like we're invisible. And so I'm going to shift and ask you a question specifically to that because I think you're uniquely positioned to talk about this. But for those who think that they're struggling personally and they feel like they're in that space of personal struggle. How can acts of service help them build resilience and confidence and actually shift their mindset positively? Like, what does that look like? And can you share an example?
Oh, there's so many instances. You know, I go back to, you know, how did I actually land here? And when I was in my 20s, you know, it was during the global financial crisis, and I was actually in finance. Those situations weren't just about, you know, that interaction or that transaction about what I was doing for work. It was genuinely listening to what people actually were sharing. And that actually is listening to also what's not said and allowing them to be heard. And in those situations, I had clients that were, you know, they had suicidal ideation. Building that sort of relationship allowed them to actually reach out to me in moments of crisis. And so it is the little nuances, the smile, the acknowledgement, the giving of space that actually shifts everything. And when people feel like finally they've been heard, finally they've been seen, and not just for what is at surface level, something shifts within them and allows you to actually create this space of, you know, finally, I actually am somebody else other than what's actually being seen in this situation. That changes everything.
Yeah, and so I'm going to ask you a further question, because I mean, you've worked with conscious business leaders worldwide. Have you seen any patterns in how acts of generosity, acts of social impact, have changed their leadership and decision making on the other side in other areas? And what does that look like?
No, there is no doubt that there is an enormous amount of pressure, stress, anxiety that is actually created, particularly in those C-suite positions and also for founders. When they actually shift their mind in that they can contribute to something more, particularly working in marginalized communities, and actually not just handing over of the money, actually being involved on the ground and seeing how other people, you know, perhaps live, engage, how they find joy in the smallest of things, something shifts inside them. And finally, they're contributing in a way that they've never done before, seeing that they're not only changing the lives of the person that's in front of them or the people that's in front of them, but that they are contributing to generational change where then that might not have happened before. Seeing that interaction of them personally being involved and how they have contributed sees a very different person of who they are, you know, on the inside. And it actually allows them to see the person that they want to become. And so everything shifts. So it's not just about the impact that they've made, you know, in the work that they've done, but also in who they are. And that then shifts because, you know, personally, I've seen that, you know, happened some 10 years ago when I actually did some work living, you know, out with a Maasai. Changing that entire perception about who I am and understanding my own privileges and the lens in which I actually saw things, you know, that subconscious bias come to surface enabled me to decide how I wanted to live life. And I think that's what happens, you know, as a whole.
You know, I've had the same experience. I've done medical exchange overseas and a lot of different things over my lifetime. And it always impacts me so strongly about, like, if something's hard or if I'm facing a challenge here at home, it's nothing compared to what other people actually see as blessings. And so I think the biggest mindset shift that occurs when we do actually put our hands to work and we get there, and you're absolutely right. Writing a check doesn't achieve this at all. I have to do hands-on myself. And there's a place for the financial check as well, but you know, when you are actually the one doing the work, it's a sense of purpose, but it's also a sense of, hey, look, I'm doing something for somebody else, and that's why we're here. That's that spiritual community component. And so I'm going to ask you the question, because a lot of times people who are watching this show, they may be limited mobility, they may be challenged with this, but what's one small mindset shift or daily practice that our audience, no matter what situation they're in, can adopt so they can start to embrace the abundance and impact the world around them?
You know, I often talk about gratitude, and this is something that we've all heard, but it is genuinely finding the gratitude in the smallest of things. And that actually incorporates when you have a challenging day, there will inevitably have been something that you can give gratitude for. Even the lesson in which you have experienced the challenge, that within itself, there is an element of being grateful for you having experienced it, because it then actually becomes a lesson. I'll share an example. In one of the projects, and I was in remote Tanzania, I actually broke, my leg. And, in that moment, I can tell you the look of horror of, everybody around me was, oh my lordy, now, like, she's actually got to go to hospital, right? And there were a whole lot of layers, including I was in a high HIV area, we had to find a hospital, first of all, and so it was all of that. But the only thing that was sitting in my mind was, please let it be a clean break. Because if it's a clean break, I can stay on. I don't need surgery. Because the only thing that was a worst case scenario for me was, my driver was actually only telling me last night that hospitals don't have the ability to sterilize. Mm-hmm. I'm in a high HIV area. That's the worst case scenario. So all I could think of was, it's okay. It just needs to be a clean break. And so shifting my mind from chaos, catastrophe, to, well, this is actually all that I need. It was almost like that's what got created. We had to drive around to get to three different hospitals to find, what I needed to be done. And it was a clean break, and then it was, well, I need to find crutches.
Mm-hmm.
But we continued. The gratitude that I actually had purely that it was a clean break, I can't tell you. Like, to this day, I'm so grateful that it was a clean break, that I stayed, because the experience, like you said, it gave me so much more than what I can tell you, was actually gifted to the people that attended the training. That was actually a financial literacy training program, that saw women who had heard about it, and men, because men ended up joining, but they were walking for 2 hours. These were people that weren't necessarily part of it, that walked for 2 hours each day because they wanted to also be part of the learning. What a gift. That gift was to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Kathy, thank you so much for sharing your incredible insights on how giving back isn't just an act of kindness, it's a way to build a better world while transforming our own lives. How can people reach out to you if they'd like to learn more about this or participate in social impact?
My website, so solutionstoyou.com.au, and it's the number 2. And you'll be able to actually reach out to me and have a chat or actually have a look at some of the work that we do.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And you, yes, you at home, no act of giving is too small, and investing in others is one of the best ways to invest in yourself. We do have to take a brief break, but we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Signs. If you're just tuning in, you're going to want to go to nowmedia.tv, click on shows, and catch the first half of today's episode. It was epic. And we're going to switch gears. It's time to tackle two of the biggest challenges we all face: mental overwhelm and mental trauma. Whether it's stress from work, family, or just the demands of everyday life, learning to manage our mental load is essential to overall health and well-being. I'm really excited because now we have joining us Dr. Andy Lee, a holistic family doctor with over 26 years of experience. He's treated over 50,000 patients. His passion, helping people overcome mental overwhelm and trauma without medication or counseling. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you for the opportunity for being here. It's such a pleasure to come all the way to Houston to see you and see you in person.
I'm really excited about this. You have a new book coming out, but before we dive into all of those details, what the heck is mental overwhelm?
Mental overwhelm is a massive, massive problem. In the US alone, over 74% of people either have stress or mental overwhelm. It's a massive, massive problem. And it's easy to see why that is. I mean, we've got such fast-paced lifestyles these days. You know, we've got so much available to us that we never had decades ago. And it's just causing so much, you know, confusion and distress for people. And it begins where, I suppose, we can divide into different parts. Where, for instance, in work, where we have computers, where originally, when they came out, it was supposed to help us with our work and make our lives easier, but we really found out that they did make our lives easier, but they actually make us process more work to process more volume. And then by processing that greater volume, it actually means that we're doing more work. And so we're not, it's not making it easier. It is in one sense, but we're actually doing more work. So if anything, we're doing more work.
It's a mental fatigue as opposed to more of a physical fatigue.
It is. It's a mental fatigue, and that carries on with things in our day-to-day life. You know, we have these phones, and we have access to so much things. So, for example, you know, there's so much content available on things like YouTube. You know, an interesting fact about YouTube. There's 500 hours of content uploaded on YouTube every single minute. It's just crazy.
That is crazy.
You know, and then there's Netflix as well. And on Netflix, there's 36,000 hours of content available as well. And if you look wanted to watch everything on Netflix, it'll take you over 4 hours and 2 months back to back without any breaks to watch everything on Netflix.
Wow. Well, it's information overload is what it is. And so now that we know that we have information overload and we've got this mental overwhelm because we're processing more, not just at work, but also at home and everything in between, how do we manage this?
Yeah, well, it's difficult, Jen. You know, so most people's lives, I mean, I use the analogy of a giant washing machine where people have this giant washing machine, and in there is everything in life thrown in. And so the analogy is like, they've got all their whites, they've got all their colors, they've got all their bedding, they've got everything thrown in, and that represents life. So you've got every aspect of your life in this giant washing machine. But then what happens is it's running around, it's not organized, and people are being reactive. So the analogy is like when they open the door for their washing machine and then the thing falls out, that's what they're dealing with day to day in life. But then sometimes when they open the door, more than one thing falls out. So they find themselves really having difficulty managing their life. And you know, it's so crazy really that they're just struggling. And then what happens as well is people, when they're so overwhelmed, they find themselves going down rabbit holes. So what happens is when they have one problem, it reminds them of another problem, then that reminds them of another problem, and that reminds them of another problem. And before they know it, they're over here working on this problem, when they really should be over here doing this problem originally. Then they go, oh, shall I be doing this problem or shall I be dealing this problem? And then they get undecided. And then they get anxious, worrying about, should I be doing this problem or should I be dealing with this task? And then with that anxiety, it becomes even harder to then make a decision. And so they're getting overwhelmed, so it makes it harder to then decide what to do. And then they're getting overwhelmed, and then it's even harder to decide what to do. And then what happens is invariably is they then can't decide what to do they don't do anything. Then they get distracted with the phone, a message comes up, and they go, okay, oh, a message, I'll deal with that.
Shut down.
And then they, yeah, deal with a message, and they get distracted, oh, I'm on my phone, I'll see what's happening on, you know, Facebook or social media. And then before they know it, they're scrolling for hours, and before they know it, they've lost hours of the day. Mm-hmm. And then they feel so guilty about that.
Oh, it's just it's like a snowball effect, and it's just like, I'm anxious just hearing you talk about it. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm like, oh goodness, okay. So I'm gonna, full disclosure, everything every distraction is cut off for me. When I'm mm-hmm. in my day, there is no, like, I'm on do not disturb mode. Yeah. I do one thing. I don't care if you call me. I don't care if the house is burning down. I'm focused. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I hear about this, like, my ADD and everything is making me anxious. So talk to me about what people can do, because I know everyone out there is feeling this viscerally. They're like, you're explaining my life. And yeah. maybe I just shut down because I just can't handle all the decisions. And we have to make so many of them. So you've helped thousands of people through this. What is the first step to regaining control over this overwhelm? What is the first step to get out of this circumstance yeah. that people at home can maybe start to work on?
Sure. So there's a story behind that, Jen. So it's about my own journey. So I went through this exact same journey as you did, as a lot of people did. And I was overwhelmed, and this happened to me over 10 years ago. And this is where I said to myself, when my life was so overwhelming, I couldn't decide what to do. I was saying yes to everything. Mm. I was dopamine chasing, didn't realize it at the time. And I had so many tasks on the go. I was just so overwhelmed myself, to the point where I was making myself mentally sick. Mm-hmm. And so this is where I said to myself, because medicine was a superpower for me, I've got all these qualifications after my name, as we talked about before. And so I said to myself, Chamsos, look, you're a doctor. You're a smart doctor. You apparently got all these letters after your name. Figure it out.
Yes.
And that's what I did. So I said to myself, look, pretend I was a patient and it came with this problem. What would I do? And this is where I came up with my own formula to help me. It was a simple, easy to follow formula, which I was using for myself to help myself sort myself out. And then I just kept it to myself. So I use it all the time myself, not realizing it could be helped, it could be used by other people. So over the last 6 years, and particularly the last 3 years, I started sharing this with more and more of my patients, because I saw people like myself who were overwhelmed, whether they had ADHD or not, who were struggling with life. And I said, okay, I've got this thing that I created about 10 years ago, would you mind me sharing it with you? And some of the patients, yeah, why not, give it a go. So I shared it with them. And then they have to implement the process. It takes about 2 or 3 days to implement the process, but if they do, then they tell me, wow, it's a life changer, it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. And this is where I got encouraged to share it more and more. And so over the last 2 or 3 years particularly, I've been sharing it a lot more and being helping a lot more people. And it's a really simple process. So it's a mind mapping process. And essentially what it involves is, first of all, we have to empty our brains, because our brains are full. Mm-hmm. And they're just full of stuff. And we, as I said before, we go down these rabbit holes and we think of one thing, we think of these other things. And so it's very distracting. And so we find that we don't have very much time for ourselves to think and to make the right decisions. So we sometimes rush our decisions. And we sometimes then not make the right decisions for ourselves, and we have regrets about some of the decisions that we make. So essentially the first process that I tell people is about emptying their mind, is clearing the space of their mind so that there is nothing there in your head where you have to remember.
Okay, well, I'm going to interrupt you right here because I've got, 156 browsers open in my mm-hmm. mind right now. And I'm like, when I try to clear my mind, thoughts just keep coming. What yeah. then?
Yeah, but this is where this is a part of the process. So I get people, and this is part in my book, in the first part, where it's called a mind dump. You dump every single thing that's in your head onto paper. Mm-hmm. And then once you've done that, you then organize it in a particular way, following my formula. And it does so in a logical, step-by-step, easy-to-follow process. And by doing so, it put things in separate, different compartments. And then it becomes much easier to then organize your life, because we love to compartmentalize everything. Because if we do that, it makes life much easier to organize.
Yes. So you're basically brain dumping everything. Listen, folks, step number one, you are here listening to the expert in this space. If you are in mental overwhelm, if you just can't make one more decision and you can't figure out where to start, brain dump. Grab a piece of paper, write every thought in your brain, because once it's on paper, something magical happens and our brain feels like we don't need to hold on to it anymore. And it allows us to kind of close the open browsers in our brain. So today, that is your first action step. We do have to take a brief break, but we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Signs. We are here talking about how do we overcome mental overwhelm. And before the break, we talked about the brain dump. That's when you need to kind of unload everything that's on your mind and close out some of those browsers in our brain. Grab a piece of paper and write down every thought that's coming to you. That is Dr. Andy Lee's first step in a process that helps you to mind map what's going on in life and move from overwhelm into action. I am here with Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee, thank you so much for being here. And you have a book coming out.
I do indeed.
So talk to me about it.
So this is the Brain Unscrambler. So there we go. So, and yes, it's to help people an easy step-by-step guide to manage mental overwhelm. So it shows you in an easy way how to, from one part to the other, how to manage mental overwhelm.
Fantastic. And so we started with the brain dump before the break. Mm-hmm. And then you talked about looking at that paper that we've written everything down on and said, okay, we're gonna compartmentalize this and put these kind of into buckets.
Sure.
Once we put these things into buckets, it's not like these tasks go away. We still have to do them. No. How is it that we're able to actually take action?
Yeah, so the process involves then putting the various topics, dividing them into the different areas of your life, and then breaking it down further. So after we've done the mind dump, we then segment it, put the different aspects of our life in different segments, and then we kind of dump it again, do another mini dump about that. And then once you've done that, there's action points, action steps. And then we then from that point, then prioritize what we need to do, whether it's urgent, semi-urgent and non-urgent. And then if we do that with all the different compartments, and then if we summate it all, we then have a total list of what's all urgent in our life, what's all semi-urgent and what's all non-urgent. And then we organize it from there. So it becomes very methodical, very logical, and very easy to see what we need to do next.
And so you basically are creating, what I'm hearing is you're taking this process that you have in your book. Fantastic, folks. When does the book come out, by the way?
It should be March.
March. So the book is coming out in March. You're going to want to follow Dr. Lee. How can they follow you so that they can get the book?
Yeah, so my website is www.thebrainunscrambler.com. And they can follow me on Facebook and also Instagram as well. I'm Dr. Andy Lee.
Fantastic. So follow Dr. Andy Lee. Get his book when it comes out, The Brain Unscrambler. But basically, you're going to do a brain dump. You're going to compartmentalize it. You're going to prioritize what needs to happen based off of urgent, semi-urgent, and then not urgent. And then you're creating a plan. And folks, when we have a plan, I'm going to tell you, not everything goes according to plan, like ever. But having a plan gives us that kind of collective sigh of relief, because we can see this is step one, this is step two, and we can now take action.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're seeing happening?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the people that have gone through this, they're just astounded. They're amazed. I mean, I get comments like, it's a life changer, it's a game changer, and it is. And as I said, so many people are suffering with mental overwhelm, stress, and with the way modern life is. And, you know, there's no real solutions out there, no practical solutions. You know, I love to say this is one of them, and it's very effective. And I want to share this with the world, and I want to help as many people around the world with being less overwhelmed and being more in control of their lives.
Fantastic. You know, at the beginning of today's show, we had Kathy on, and she was talking about social impact and how when we as entrepreneurs, as physicians, as whatnot, what we have is the ability to make a ripple effect in the world and
Absolutely.
To truly impact change. And what I'm hearing is you're doing this, you did this for yourself, you realize you could do this for your patients, but you're only one person. And this book is a way for you to do this for the masses so that we can really actually see that ripple effect and impact so many more people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you hit the nail on the head, Jen, because that's my belief too. And as I've seen, as I witnessed with helping my patients, what I've noticed in that ripple effect is it changes how people show up, not only for themselves, but also for the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are less feeling less stressed, less mentally overwhelmed, then they show up better as a person, as a family member, as a spouse, whether it's a husband or wife, as a father or mother, as a colleague at work, or as a friend. Mm-hmm. They show up better, so they become a better version of themselves. And that's become self-evident, and then they can help other people because they are calmer and more organized with themselves, and so they just turn up better for all the people around them.
And you know, I immediately think about this because we have a lot of viewers who maybe they're a single parent, maybe they're working multiple jobs, and they feel that anxiety and that stress and that I don't have enough time for myself, and add the mental overwhelm to that. But when we take care of ourselves and we have that element of calm and organization, I don't know if organization is the best word, but you know, what our children perceive, they perceive that sense of calm, that sense of, I have a sense of control.
Yeah.
And even if they haven't got the tools themselves, just that emotional sense is gonna benefit our children.
Absolutely. So, to pick up the point about people working multiple jobs, people are overwhelmed because they are working multiple jobs. And then sometimes they do this because they're stuck in this, they started it and then they feel stuck in doing this, so they carry on. But they never sometimes stop and reflect, should they really be doing this? And so with my formula, one of the things it can do is that, let's say for their jobs, you can put that, your different jobs, into the unscrambler formula for the process, and then it weighs up why the pros and cons of why you should be doing the job A, B, or C, or whatever, even study, and then evaluate what is the net value of each of the jobs to then come up with a answer to what they should be really be doing and where they should be focusing their attention as well. And you're right. And so when they have that control and see what they're doing, their life becomes more purposeful. And when their life becomes purposeful, as you rightly say, you know, the people around them, whether it's their family, the children, whether it's their friends, whether it's, you know, family members, they see that. And they, you know, and it's very attractive, and it's, you know, it's magnetic.
And you know, what I have found to be true, I'm a coach too, and I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. When they give themselves permission to do a thing, it goes to, you know, their teams feel like they are empowered, and they want to emulate us as leaders. And the same thing in the household. As parents, our children want to emulate us as leaders. So when we give ourselves permission to unscramble our brain, then they're going to have permission to do the same.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's really a beautiful thing with a ripple effect. Thank you so much for coming in here, for sharing some of this. I wanted to go into mental trauma. We didn't even have time for that. but once again, I love to leave our audience with something they can do today. So what is the first step for everyone to take today?
Today? Well, I would say, I really do believe that this is going to be a life-changing formula for you. You know, please, you know, get a copy of my book, or borrow one, or get one from the library. It will change your life. It will, I promise you.
And try that brain dump. That brain dump is an excellent thing. I personally use the brain dump. It has been really essential for me because it helps me to kind of like defrag my brain. I'm using so much terminology for computers. I'm so sorry.
All right.
I do a lot in AI, so like I've got computer analogy along brain. But Dr. Lee, I want to just take this moment to thank you for sharing your powerful and practical approach to overcoming overwhelm, really mental overwhelm. Your mind mapping formula is amazing. I can't wait to get my copy of the book. If you are at home, reach out to Dr. Lee. How can they reach out to you?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much again, Jen, for the opportunity. They can reach out to me. My website is www.thebrainunscrambler.com, where people can pre-register for a copy of the book. And I'm offering a 25% discount as well for those who pre-register.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you and everything that you've brought
to
my audience.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you.
Absolutely. And you, just you, your mind is one of your greatest assets. Learning how to manage mental overwhelm, stress, and heal trauma can transform your life. Start small. Start with your brain dump. Take action and begin the process today. Nothing happens. We don't change if we don't take action. So today's the day that we're going to do that. If brain dumping is your action step, then that's what we're going to do. Reach out to Dr. Andy Lee. And unfortunately, all good things do come to an end, including this show. But the good news is we'll be here same time, same station next week. And I will see you then, reminding you today to take care of your greatest asset, your health. Have an amazing rest of your day.
This has been a Now Media Networks feature presentation. All rights reserved.